This is Dish and Dirt with Gary Pickren, South Carolina's only podcast dedicated to the real estate agent craft. And now, the host of Dish and Dirt, Gary Pickren.
And greetings and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Dish and Dirt. I'm your often opinionated but rarely wrong host, Gary Pickren, coming to you from Blair Cato in beautiful downtown Columbia, South Carolina, this the second and very hot week of July 2023. I hope everybody had a safe and happy 4th of July, as we were off last week, but we are back in the saddle again this week, coming to you not live, but on demand, because nobody would listen to this show live, but occasionally y'all listen to us on demand, so we will keep delivering it as long as y'all keep demanding it. So today I have a really exciting show. I'm actually really proud of the show today. I think it's going to turn out really great. It's a topic that we've needed a long time now to talk about, and I've just been pushing it off and pushing it off, and finally after last month's Real Estate Commission meeting, I decided we needed to go ahead and hit this topic. And what I'm talking about is interference with agency. Are you interfering with the agency agreement of another agent? And chances are pretty good that you probably have done so in the past. It's not very hard to interfere with somebody's agency agreement. And I know you're all thinking to yourself, I don't do that. That's not who I am. But we're going to talk about some scenarios here today that you might find yourself thinking, maybe I have done that in the past. So we need to talk about all the different ways that people interfere with agency and how you need to be careful. Know what we're seeing now at the Real Estate Commission over the last 2 months of hearings is that the commission is starting to take a real long and hard look at this and actually starting to pop some agents pretty hard when the issue of agency interference arises. If you watched last month's meeting, I think you would actually see that to be the case. Over the past couple of months in some of the hearings, we've actually noticed where interference was not even at issue in the complaint, that the agent testifying would make a remark along the lines of they're providing client services to somebody who's represented by another agent, and we're having to remind them that that's a violation of interference with agency rules. And so we're seeing it more and more, and I think it's becoming a bigger issue. So today I want to talk about agency interference, and I'm going to give you three times that I have seen over the past couple of months at the commission where we're seeing these types of violations being committed. But before we do so, I think we got to lay down the foundation and go over some of the basics of agency so that we can establish the start point. In real estate, as y'all know, we have consumers. Every human being in the world is considered a possible consumer. It's not until you have a real estate interaction that the consumer becomes a customer. I think there's this misconception in the real estate market that everyone in the world is a customer. That's not true. Everyone is a consumer. They only become a customer when you have a real estate interaction with them, whether it's their financial needs or their real estate needs. Once you have a conversation about that, now you're providing customer service. But until you have this interaction, they're not your customer. They're simply just a consumer. They're really nothing in terms of what the statute's looking at. I've actually had an expert on the other side of a case I was in opine that everyone in the world was a customer. That's absolutely not true. Everyone in the world is a consumer. They only become a customer when they have a real estate interaction. If you look at the actual definition of customer under our statute of 40-57, you'll see what I'm talking about. You become a client once you have entered into a written agency agreement. So you have a customer, and then they become client once you have written agency agreement. Until you have a written signed agency agreement, they are customers and you cannot provide client services to them until you have the signed written agreement. Agency can only be created, make sure you understand this, agency can only be created by signed written agreement. It can never be assumed. That's 40-57-370E. So let's look at that actual statute. For all real estate transaction, no agency relationship between a buyer, seller, landlord, or tenant and a real estate brokerage firm and its associated licensees exist unless the buyer, seller, landlord, or tenant in the brokerage company and its associated license agree in writing to the agency relationship. No type of agency relationship may be assumed by a buyer, seller, landlord, tenant, or licensee or created orally or by implication. It's very important to understand that. So you cannot provide agency services, client services, until you have a written agreement. When we are talking about interference with agency, we are obviously talking about interference with the written agency agreement that an agent, a licensee, has signed through their broker with a client. Remember, very important to remember this, All customers are 100% fair game. They are not protected in any form or fashion. If you're working with a customer, then any other agent under the sun can continue to reach out to that customer and solicit them to sign an agency with them. So as long as you're working with a customer, you really don't have a whole lot of protection under our statute. Customers are 100% fair game up until they enter into agency with another agent. At that point, that's when it all has to end. All communications, all solicitation has to end. So understand, your only protection as a real estate licensee is to get agency signed with your consumer, moving them from customer to client. Until then, anyone in the world can go after them. Think of it like dating. You date, as long as you're dating the girl, it's fair game. Everybody else can take a shot at her. But once you lock her up and put a ring on her finger, then she should be off the market. So I know that's not how it really works in the real world, unfortunately. But kind of think of agency the same way. Until you put that engagement ring on your client and become, you have an agency agreement and they become your client. Until then, until you slip that finger ring on their finger, somebody else can come along and ask her out. But even if a customer says, I don't want to sell my house, or I'm not going to list with you, you still have the right to continue to solicit to that customer. Once they become under the agency, once they tell you they've signed an agreement with another agent, at that point, you cannot continue to reach out. I want everyone to understand where one of the first violations that I see is that once you find out they are represented under agency, the only thing you can ask them is, when does the agency agreement end? That's all that you can discuss with them. You can't discuss, well, when it ends, can I represent you? That would be a violation. Your only questions you're allowed to ask at this point is, when does your agency agreement end? A lot of agents believe also that they can help a client terminate an agency agreement. Perhaps the buyer's unhappy, or perhaps even the agent's non-responsive. Maybe they have the world's worst real estate agent work representing them, and everybody knows it. The agent won't respond. The agent's been out of town for 6 months, and nothing's happening. And the buyer wants to fire them. You cannot help that agent terminate that agency agreement. First of all, you cannot terminate an agency agreement unilaterally. It is a contract between two parties, and you cannot terminate a contract unilaterally. Both parties have to agree to terminate the contract. So that's another misconception we have in our market. Everybody thinks that if the buyer simply writes an email saying, I'm terminating you, that terminates agency. It does not. You as the agent or your broker actually has to agree to that. So absent an agreement, the agency still exists. It's a mutual contract. It's not a unilateral contract. So the point I also want to make here, though, is you cannot, very important, you cannot coach, advise, or counsel anyone on how to terminate agency. You can't tell them how to do that, especially since agency can't be terminated unilaterally, plus since giving advice and counsel is client services and you are only working with them as a customer. In fact, you're really not even working with them as a customer. They're still a consumer because they're under agency with somebody else. You can only tell them that they need to contact the broker of the agent, which they have signed the listing agreement with, and ask, or the buyer representation agreement, and ask how to terminate the agreement. The broker may say, I'm not going to let you terminate, and that is absolutely the broker's right, because it is, again, a bilateral contract and not a unilateral contract. Also understand, in addition to not being able to coach them on how to terminate, you also cannot pitch them today on representing them when their agency agreement runs out. We see this a lot as a violation of the commission. What we see is that the listing agreement is going to end in 2 weeks, so you start go ahead and calling them saying, hey, I understand your agency agreement is going to end in 2 weeks. I'd like to represent you, and here's what I will do for you if I represent you. That is also interference with an agency agreement. You may not do this pitch in any form or fashion until the agency agreement ends. So even if the seller calls you and says, I have a listing agreement that's going to end in 2 weeks and I'm looking for a new agent, it is illegal for you to go ahead now and start pitching them. Your only legal response would be, call me when the agency agreement ends and I'll be happy to tell you how I can help you. But you cannot, at this point, start telling them how you're going to provide services for them. They are still under agency. And this includes offering them advice on how you would list the house, what listing price you would do, what marketing you would do, or what other agencies, what your team would do, what your brokerage would do. None of that is proper. So please stop doing all of this. Seeing this all the time. I think one thing that perhaps is causing issues with agents with this is that some agents still don't understand that you do not have a single client. Understand, you do not have any clients whatsoever. As an agent, as a licensee, as an associated licensee, you have no clients. All the clients belong to your broker. End of story. Hard stop. That's it. No ifs, ands, or buts. No gray area here. All clients, whether it's a listing agent, whether you're a listing agent or a buyer's agent, every single one of your clients, which you call your clients, belong to the broker. The broker is the only person that has clients in your brokerage. Period. The brokerage doesn't have clients. Associated licensees doesn't have clients. The broker in charge has clients, and that's it. So now let's look at some statutory language, 4057.710. The grounds for denial of issuance or license or for disciplinary action against the licensee. Statute says, it is improper for you to engage in a practice or take action inconsistent with the agency relationship that other real estate licensees have established with their clients. Don't know why we really need to go much into this, but I'm going to spend some time explaining what this actually means. But I want you to look at this language. We're going to break it down. This language is mandatory. It says you will not engage in practice or take actions inconsistent. Engage in or take actions is a positive action. There's no qualifiers in here. It doesn't say you can do it unless you don't know or you don't have any belief or it's okay not to ask the questions. It's definitive. You will not do this. So how do you will not do this unless you take affirmative actions to ensure that you're not doing this? So this isn't a statute where it's okay for you just to turn a blind eye, not ask the questions because I don't want the answer. Of course, as a buyer's agent, if I have a buyer coming to ask me to help them find a $1 million house, I don't want to know that you're working with somebody else. But you know what? The statute requires me to not engage in a practice or take action inconsistent with agency relationship. So I do have an affirmative duty to ensure that I am not engaging in practice or taking actions inconsistent. And simply it's just not asking a question and go, well, they didn't tell me they were working with somebody, simply is not going to do it. You will not engage in practice or take action inconsistent, period. That's it. Understanding this, saying I did not know or they didn't tell me or I didn't think they were under agency is no longer a good defense. There's a huge difference, I want you to understand this as well, between your client lying to you versus you not asking the question. There's a big difference between you not asking the question and you ignoring all of the red flags. All of that will get you in trouble. Now, I'm not speaking for the commission as a commissioner today, so don't take this the wrong way, but I don't think any commission in this country would say that if you do take the necessary steps and you do ask the questions to the client, are you under agency and you're making sure that they're not under agency and you've actually asked effective questions and they are no red flags, you're not going to get in trouble, in my opinion, if you accidentally engage in practice inconsistent, because we do recognize that sometimes clients will lie. Sometimes clients don't understand agency. Sometimes they think they have the right to terminate agency. And so you will not be held, in my opinion, in violation of a statute when there was absolutely no way that you should have known or could have known whether or not the client was lying to you. But that's a whole different ballgame from getting the agency agreement signed and never asking any questions about whether you've already looked at houses, have you seen any houses, have you been in any houses, have you worked with any agents and things of that nature, or even worse, when somebody tells you they've already posted earnest money with a closing attorney's office. That should be a red flag that why would you put earnest money with the closing office unless you've already had a house under contract that fell through? So it should be a red flag warning that maybe perhaps they've already been working with somebody on buying a house. So let's actually kind of shift gears here for a second. And let's even look at what the code of ethics that the Realtors Association says about agency interference. And that's under Article 16 of the Code of Ethics, that when you look at the real estate law of 4057, and you look at the 17 articles from the Code of Ethics, they're pretty much incorporated into each other. In fact, most state legislatures use the 17 articles as kind of the basis for drafting the statutory law. Now, sometimes you will find that state law requires more than the Code of Ethics. Other times you'll find the Code of Ethics requires more than state law. But I think in this situation here, state law and Article 16 are pretty much the same. What Article 16 says is realtors shall not engage in any practice or take any action inconsistent with exclusive representation or exclusive brokerage relationship agreements with other realtors have with their clients. Same thing. Violation of state law, violation of your code of ethics. I want to look at standard of practice 16.9. Now, as I've mentioned in many of my classes, if you've ever taken one, you may be in violation of an article, a code, Article 17, Article 16. You cannot be held in violation of a standard of practice. What a standard of practice is it provides us more guidelines, more understanding as to what the actual code, the actual article means. So in this situation, Article 16 is fairly clear to me. You can't do anything inconsistent, take any action that's going to interfere with somebody's agency agreement. But let's look at Standard of Practice 16-9 to see if we can get a little bit further understanding of what it says. It says, realtors, prior to entering into a representation agreement, have an affirmative obligation to make reasonable efforts to determine whether the prospect is subject to a current valid exclusive agreement to provide the same type of real estate services. Well, holy moly, there it is. The standard of practice is exactly what I said. You have an affirmative obligation to take reasonable efforts to determine whether they're working with somebody right now. And the question is, what is reasonable efforts? I don't think reasonable efforts is, have you signed agency with somebody? No. Okay, well, that's my reasonable effort. That's not a reasonable effort, because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that some clients don't understand what the word agency means. They don't understand when they sign those documents what those documents were about. So it takes a whole lot more to do reasonable efforts to find out whether somebody is working with another agent on the exact same types of services you are trying to provide. It's an affirmative duty. There it is, under the code of ethics. You cannot escape that. You also have an affirmative duty to inquire under the state law, because if you go back and look at state law, what does state law say? It says you will not interfere, you will not take actions inconsistent. Well, how do you do that unless you take and make affirmative inquiries to find out whether you are? It doesn't say just turn a blind eye and hope it doesn't happen. It says you won't do it. So the only way you can ensure you're not doing it is to actually ask the questions. So let's look a little bit further into Article 16 in the Standard of Practice. Under Standards of Practice 16.4, it says realtors shall not solicit a listing which is currently listed exclusively with another broker. Standard of Practice 16-5 says that realtors shall not solicit buyer-tenant agreements from buyers and tenants who are subject to exclusive buyer-tenant agreements. Now let's put this into action. Let's do a few examples of the three most common ways that I see this being broken all the time. Number one, buyer asks you to help them find a house. You take no steps whatsoever to see if the buyer is working with another agent. You absolutely ask nothing. You just sign the buyer up right off the bat, and that's it. And as I said earlier, we have to recognize that sometimes buyers lie, but we also have to understand that buyers don't understand agents. But here's the real problem. The real problem is us. We don't want to know. Bottom line is, we don't want to know. Well, today I'm here to tell you this we don't want to know is going to put you at risk of a violation of Article 16 with the Code of Ethics. So if another realtor has agency and you start working with a buyer and your only defense is, well, they didn't tell me they were working with you, that's not a defense. Because as I just showed you, you have an affirmative duty under Article 16 to actually determine whether or not they have agency with another agent. So your idea of turning a blind eye or not asking the questions is going to get you in trouble with the Realtor Association. I also believe it violates state law because, again, state law 720 says that you will not interfere with another agent's agency agreement. And we're going to talk in just a few minutes about how not to do so. Now, the second time we're seeing issues is when an agent or associated licensee leaves one broker and goes to work with another broker. I think the first thing you need to understand and remember is that you have absolutely no clients. All of those clients belong to the broker. The agency agreement, whether you signed it or your broker signed the agency agreement with the particular client, is still the client of the broker. It's not your client. You have absolutely no claim to these clients whatsoever. Now, this is not to say that the broker cannot agree to let the clients be dismissed from their agency agreement and allow them to sign a new agency agreement with your broker at your new office. But what this does mean is that you would violate the code if you contact the clients and try to talk them into leaving and going to your brokerage. Because again, The client belongs to your broker that you're currently at. If you are leaving that broker to go to work for another broker, those clients are not yours. They still belong to the broker. And so when you start calling the person that you've been working with, your buyer, your seller, and say, I'm leaving this broker to go to another broker. If you want to come with me, you need to call my broker up now and tell him you want to leave. You are interfering with agency agreement, period. That violates the code. It is taking an action inconsistent with your broker's rights with their clients. We've actually had a hearing where somebody kept talking about how they were my clients. And Commissioner Andy Lee is like, no, they're not your clients. And the fact that you keep calling them your clients tells us you don't even understand the basics of agency. If you're leaving your brokerage before you even talk to your clients, you need to talk to your broker and get in writing from your broker that it's fine for you to talk to the client to make to see if they want to stay with the current broker or go to the new broker. If your broker says, no, you may not talk to the client, then you may not talk to the client about leaving. All you can do is notify them that you have changed brokerage and that the broker will assign them a new licensee to work with. And let's look at what the actual realtor code says about this. If you look at the standard of practice 16-20, it says realtors prior to or after their relationship with their current firm is terminated shall not induce clients of their current firm to cancel exclusive contractual agreements between the client and that firm. That's it. So do it. You're violating Article 16 and you're violating state law. Now, the third example we'll talk about is the conversation that I see that leads you to a lot of trouble. You're at a party, maybe at a church meeting, ball game for your child, and a person knows that you're an agent, and this is a conversation. I don't like my agent. What can you do for me? If I switch to you, what can you do? Can you help me find this house? Or I need help getting out of my agreement. All of that conversation that goes from then on out is probably going to be in violation of the law. They're working with an agent. You cannot be their second opinion. That's all they want is a second opinion. But under our law, you cannot give them a second opinion. First of all, you can't provide client services, so you can't advise, counsel, or advocate for them, period. Secondly, because they're under agency with somebody else, all you can say is, if you're working with another agent, I can't give you any information. When does your agency agreement expire? That's all you can do. But you may not sit here and have discussions with them about what you can do better than that other agent or giving them advice and counsel. And we see this all the time, and this is where I believe a lot of agents get in trouble, is that somebody at a party or an event is already working with an agent. Things aren't going the way they want. They find out you're an agent and they start having these conversations. And the next thing you know, you're out there showing them houses because you haven't asked the questions if they're working with another agent. So now in the few minutes we have left, let me explain to you the proper way, in my opinion, of doing this. I think if you're sitting with a buyer and your question is, are you working with an agent? Their answer is going to be no. Because in their mind, they're not currently working with an agent. They may have worked with an agent for the past year trying to find a house, but today they're not working with an agent. So you're not going to get the correct answer. I think if you're asking, have you signed an agreement with another agent? They're more than likely going to say no, either because they're going to lie, they're going to not remember it, or they didn't understand what they were signing. So the proper way of finding out, to take affirmative actions, to recognize red flags, in my opinion, is to start with this. When you're working with a buyer, simply ask them where they're looking to buy a house. If they say, well, I'm looking in the Spring Valley neighborhood. Have you seen any houses yet? Yeah, well, I've seen three. Well, that's a red flag right there. If they've gone into three houses, it's pretty much guaranteed that they've been working with an agent, right? So at this point, you're saying, oh, well, tell me about those houses. Well, I went on this house, and this house. And did you like those houses? Yes, I like this and that. Well, tell me what agent took you into those houses. Well, John showed me into those houses. Oh, okay. Well, I know John's a really good agent. And under South Carolina law, John probably would not have shown you those houses unless he got you to sign something called agency. So I need to call John or John's broker real quick to make sure that he doesn't have agency with you that you might have forgotten about. Because if you do, state law is very particular on what I can and cannot do. So give me a minute. So you pick up the phone, you call John's broker, or call John if you know him, and you say, hey, John, sitting here with the Smith family. They tell me that you showed them three houses into Spring Valley. I assume you have agency. Can you confirm that? If John says, no, I did not get them to sign agency yet. I'm going to. Don't talk to my client. You can politely remind John, well, they're not your client until you sign agency. Right now, they're a customer. They're fair game. In fact, I'm signing him right now, and I would ask that you not contact him after I sign him because that would violate state law. On the other hand, if John says, yes, they have signed agency with me, then you're done. At that point, all you can do is go back and say, I just spoke to John. He says you did sign agency with them. You can ask John when that agency agreement expires. If John tells you, great. If he doesn't, you can now go to the consumer and say, John tells me that you did have agency signed with him. Can you please tell me when that agency agreement expires? They say in 3 weeks. Well, call me in 3 weeks. I'm happy to talk with you then. But if once John says that, yes, we've signed agency, you're done. No more conversations. But that's how you ask. You don't simply just ask, do you have agency? Because they'll say no, because they don't understand what that is. Or are you working with a real estate agent? They'll say no, because they're not, in their mind, they're not. They've already fired the person. And that brings us to the last point. If they said, I've terminated the agreement, or I fired them, or yeah, I have one, but I'm not working with them anymore, that is the biggest red flag in the world. Because as I've mentioned throughout this podcast today, there is no unilateral termination of agency. Nowhere in the agency agreement does it say that the buyer or the seller can just on their own terminate the agreement. Nowhere does it say that. It's a contract. It is a bilateral contract. Both parties have to agree to that. So if a consumer tells you, well, I was under agency, but I fired the agent, or I'm sending them an email, or here's the email I sent them, that doesn't count. That's no good. That's a huge red flag. So if you go before the Realtors Association or you go before the Real Estate Commission and your answer is, well, I asked them if they had worked with another agent and they said they had, but they terminated and here's my email, that does nothing for you. That just tells me that you knew there was a red flag and you purposely turned a blind eye. Because what you should have done at that point is started asking the questions. Let me reach out to, who was that agent? I need to reach out to that agent and make sure that that in fact has been terminated. You have an affirmative duty, not only under the statute, but under the Realtor Code of Ethics. So exercise that affirmative duty. So I hope you've been able to get a lot out of this podcast. I'm actually kind of happy that I did this. I think you should now be able to see that you do have an affirmative duty to ensure that you're not interfering with agency agreements. And again, that means doing a whole lot more than simply asking the client, are you working with another agent? It also means when you see the red flags, you have to ask a lot more questions. And secondly, I think trying to talk someone into terminating their agreement or giving them advice on how to do so clearly shows you now that's a violation of state law. Everyone should be very well aware of what's expected from you in terms of interfering with agency. Stop doing it. If you find yourself doing it, I can guarantee you agents are going to start filing grievances against you at the Realtors Association and at the Real Estate Commission, and you're going to find yourself trying to answer these questions, which is not going to go very well for you. And that's all the time we have for our show today. Hope everybody enjoyed learning more about agency. I ask you to please like us, share us, and subscribe to us. Tell all the other real estate agents you know all about Dish and Dirt so we can continue to grow this platform. Hope you all have a wonderful weekend, and don't forget to send all of your closings to Blair Cato. Y'all take care. Bye.